You're listening to Talk of the Rock with Kayla DeRoche, which is me, and then I have a couple of guests in the room with us today. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves to the listeners?
I'm Marissa Collar-Williams. I am the director of the Healthy Tomorrows Community Wellness Program.
I'm Julie Beeler. I am the quality support specialist at Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center, and I'm here to support Marissa today.
Okay, so we've had you on a couple of times, Marissa, but I feel like just for those listeners who might have missed those awesome episodes, you might as well give a little history about Kodiak Strong and Planning Days in Alaska, because it's a thing.
It is a thing, and it's a growing thing, actually. We, 2 years ago, I guess already, I went to Sitka to observe the Sitka Health Summit, which is an event that they've been doing for a decade, where the community comes together and they review health and wellness data for their community, and they get together and brainstorm. They think about ways to improve health, wellness, and quality of life in Sitka, and then the initiatives that are chosen, they usually choose two, get a little bit of seed funding, and are totally citizen-driven. So it doesn't necessarily mean only those who came to Planning Day get to help with the project, but they kind of help drive it forward after the Planning Day, and then the initiatives kind of take on a life of their own. So Sitka has done a wide range of initiatives, from bike safety to planting like 500 fruit trees in a year, or to a mural, things like that. So we decided to adopt that model as sort of the cornerstone of our community wellness program to help us really hear from the community what they feel would improve their health, wellness, and quality of life. So last year, the community got together at our first event and chose a cooperative grocery that featured local produce and local seafood, as well as a housing initiative for the homeless and a downtown farmers market. And we've been successful on kind of a sliding scale. The co-op is tremendously successful. We're moving forward with a grocery store downtown. We achieved the Downtown Farmers Market Initiative, which actually Julie was a part of, and we're looking for a sustainability model for something like that, trying to figure out how that will be funded, and Sutliff's is really helpful. They let us use their parking lot for free. We hope to do that again, but again, we are looking for somebody to sort of manage that effort. And then the Housing Initiative took on a lot of forms, but in the end never really left the ground. So this year, we had another event. And we had about half as many planners, but we definitely had a better dynamic in the room. It definitely felt this year that we had the right people in the room, and we ended up choosing a large-scale hydroponic growing facility that would hopefully supply the co-op grocery store and other local venues. And we also had a community wellness center initiative that was chosen, which would be a safe place for all of our community to be active.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what happens in the room during Planning Day? Because you have an interesting kind of setup there where you try to make it as fair as possible.
We do try to make it as fair as possible. And actually, we've been experimenting with when we hold the Planning Day. So last year we did it on a Friday, and we ended up with a lot of people sort of wearing their organizational hats, like, you know, people who came on behalf of their nonprofit or their government representation, et cetera. This year we did it on a Saturday, which afforded those who worked on Friday and their organizations didn't necessarily allow them to participate, or people who maybe worked in an organization but didn't necessarily feel comfortable representing their organization to be there. However, it happened to coincide with like 8 bazaars, the Nutcracker, and a nasty, nasty winter storm. So we, you know, attendance kind of varied. But we begin the day sort of giving historical context, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Julie came and spoke about the farmers market and talked about sort of what they learned through the process. So when people are choosing initiatives, they can think about how it will all play out and if there's really enough support. We also go through some data. This year we reviewed the 2016 Community Health Needs Assessment, which is provided by Providence. It's something we do every 3 years. And we also reviewed some ACEs data, which is Adverse Childhood Experiences, and Alaska ranks pretty darn high, if not number one, mm-hmm. in almost all of the adverse childhood experiences categories. So we are, I think that sort of helped inform our community wellness center idea. And anyway, it just gives the planners a platform, like really how to shape an idea and solve problems. And then everybody kind of brainstorms all their ideas, and they write them all down, and then we provide them with a decision matrix to make sure that they're choosing wisely and really making sure that there will be a community effort. So it's not just like one person trying to start a co-op grocery store, you know. And then at the end of the day, we have a dual voting system. We put all of the ideas on the wall, and everybody gets a chance to pitch their idea to the group. And then the group comes through and votes. They vote first publicly with little like colored dots, and then we do an anonymous ballot voting system as a second round once we narrow it down. So that way people aren't feeling pressured by who's in the room as far as how they should vote one way or the other.
All right. And so last year I understand you got a tie when you were deciding on goals.
Mm-hmm.
What was the tie between?
I can't remember exactly which initiatives they were, but we had a tie between the farmers market, mm-hmm. the co-op, and the housing initiative. And because we had sponsorship from Providence and Canna and myself at Healthy Tomorrows, we were able to fund all three of the initiatives. This year, we received some additional grant funding to Healthy Tomorrows, so we kind of went at it on our own. So I personally was grateful that we didn't have a tie. Plus, like, we just have so much mm-hmm. stuff going on already. It would have been hard for a small community like ours to try and really move three initiatives forward with a similar amount of effort.
Yeah, and it was really interesting how those three initiatives, they developed over mm-hmm. the time that we mm-hmm. had, because they kind of took their own paths.
Mm-hmm.
And it really showed where planning days can kind of lead to their own evolution based on the investment and, like, mm-hmm. who champions the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak a little bit about those initiatives and what happened with them? Especially, I'd be interested to hear a little bit about the downtown farmers market or what this started as.
We found mostly that the group dynamic is a huge component of making these initiatives work. Being able to work together and sort of put your politics and your ego aside and understand that what we're doing here is for the greater good. It's not about me being victorious. It's not about you being victorious. It's about us as a community being better and making it happen together. So that's been a big driving force for the co-op, is that everybody's there and, like, you know, hey, we want a grocery store downtown, and we want to be able to get seafood at a reasonable price that's caught right out there. So our meetings are, they have a good flow and a good dynamic, and everybody wants to work together. It also helped that myself and my co-chair, Tyler Cornelis, both of our organizations were able to put our time sort of like in kind, as in trade, to make these initiatives work. So we are effectively working as project managers, and not all the initiatives were able to find that kind of support. But I also think, you know, we ended up using the seed funding for the farmers market to hire Julie to organize it, because it was difficult to find somebody who wanted to do that as a volunteer, because it's you don't have group support as a coordinator, really. It's kind of like you just go out there and people send you their name and their email and what they're going to sell, and then if something goes wrong, it's kind of all on you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk a little bit about farmers market?
Yeah, absolutely. So like Marissa said, we kind of use that seed money from the initiatives, basically for my position, to be the coordinator for that downtown farmers market, which I think was really successful because it kind of was me doing it, which was good because then everything kind of fell on me, like Marissa said. But also it was just a little bit easier to communicate with Setlifs, with one person versus a group of people. And we had no idea when
when that initiative was chosen, which was actually revitalizing downtown, but it turned into a farmer's market, that it would grow as much as it did. When we started, we had 10, 12 vendors, and by the end, we had up to like 22, 24 vendors. So we really saw this huge growth and people just getting more and more excited every week to have the opportunity to sell not only at the fairgrounds on the weekend on Saturdays, but also to have another opportunity to showcase, you know, their talents or to bring vegetables or whatever they were growing to Wednesday night. It was really wonderful, and just to have that access downtown. So if tourists were coming in or people off the boats or anybody really could just see, oh, wow, there's stuff going on in the summer downtown in Kodiak. Mm-hmm. We had the chance to have some different musicians come and groups that I'd never even heard of, which is really fun, just kind of came out of the woodwork and were like, hey, can we, you know, play our music? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. So it was really fun and great to see the community come together. But like I think Marissa was mentioning earlier, it's really important with these initiatives to have the support, to have a group of people that are passionate about making these goals come to life and who are going to be there and put in the footwork. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that need to happen with these initiatives to move them forward. There's a lot of planning, and there's a lot of strategy and business plans and blueprints and so many different things and funding that go into these, and I think a lot of times the community doesn't necessarily see all that. But to have a group that's really passionate about this and wants to make Kodiak a better place is really key. And I think I was on the initial committee for the housing initiative that was chosen last year. But I think with that, it's such a huge, huge thing to take on. To address homelessness is a big, big chunk to take on. And I think it just, there was a lot of differing opinions. And I think we just didn't have that core support and just didn't really have a direct vision or goal. Mm-hmm. But I think something is going to happen with that this year. I think they're kind of talking about some different opportunities with that, which is really good. So that has not died. It's just kind of taken over by some different people and kind of going in a different direction. So.
And that's the beautiful thing about this model is that, you know, you get to see everybody's mm-hmm. ideas and what they're most passionate about, and they get a chance to talk to the group about it. And then there's all of these little things that the connections that are made sort of outside the big goals. So for us, it was, you know, there's a different housing initiative kind of wearing a different hat this time.
Absolutely.
With a different group of people. And then there was also a Ban the Plastic Bag initiative that was brought up. And that inspired a group of us to get together and, you know, call down to Hawaii and figure out how they made that happen and sort of figure out what the structure of that would look like and if we could do it here. And those were things that weren't chosen, but that people were still passionate about and that we can still do. And I think that's the beautiful thing about these is that it's inspiring mm-hmm. in a way that many things we are doing can't really reach. You know, like you see the co-op project going on, but it's kind of intimidating to give us a call and be like, hey, I really want to volunteer. But this gives you an opportunity mm-hmm. to really get in on the ground floor of something that you are passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Right. And just to give a summary, so the three goals that were decided on last year for the planning day was the co-op, which mm-hmm. is in process. It's mm-hmm. kind of building up. It's an extended project. Downtown revitalization, which turned into a downtown market. Mm-hmm. And there was housing, which didn't quite work out this year, but might have a possibility mm-hmm. of developing in the future. And I mm-hmm. actually, I remember the first day of the downtown market, and I think someone brought spinach mm-hmm. and it went off and went out like immediately, like yeah. she sold mm-hmm. out completely. People were yeah. flocking to that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm exactly the kind of person who was demanding that kind of thing. Like I don't have a car, I can't access the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. So it was a really convenient mm-hmm. way to access local foods for people who can't get out there. Mm-hmm. And maybe someone who just wants to buy some groceries when they get their coffee in mm-hmm. the evening, who knows?
Yeah. And sort of piggybacking on that, I think were the initiatives from this year where, mm-hmm. you know, people came in and they wanted to work on hydroponic growing so that you can have more of that produce around mm-hmm. All the time. And we get asked a lot if we think that, like, the co-op or the hydroponics idea will hurt the farmers market at all. But we, at least as a group, don't really believe that it will because it's a totally different consumer mm-hmm. that's going to the farmer's market. They want to be social. They want to look around and see mm-hmm. what people are doing. They want to listen to the music. They want to, like, high-five their farmers, you know.
Yeah.
And the co-op grocery store and the hydroponics are just a different – like, you go to the grocery store with a totally different mindset. You still get to high-five your farmers, but it's in a different way. You know, instead you're giving them your money and consistently. And it's kind of it's a venue. It's a market. It's a way – it's a consistent way for somebody to actually make a living as a farmer here. And right now, I don't think it's possible to do that.
Yeah, it's not. I would say with the farmer's market, you know, those vendors, they do it more for fun than they do for profit. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would actually spend what they made on selling on everybody else's wares, which is great because they're like, oh, we're so excited. You know, we want to buy other people's things. And I think the thing about the co-op is it would be year-round, whereas the farmers markets right now are only during growing season. Mm-hmm. So we actually went through the month of September this past year, but we really didn't have that many people that had vegetables at that time, just with weather conditions. And so, you know, with the co-op, it'd be wonderful to have that year-round. And like Marissa said, I really don't foresee that at all influencing the farmers markets. The one out at the fairgrounds has been going on for several years now, and hopefully this downtown farmers market we can continue as well and figure out how to keep that going. I think the co-op will be wonderful, and I really think it'll just add more and get people more excited about buying local and eating fresh.
So what sets hydroponic growing apart from other types of growing, like hoop houses or something like that?
Well, it's very efficient because you can sort of tailor the nutrients. Well, okay, so let's back up. So hydroponic growing is like a system where you're applying nutrients and water together directly to the roots of the plant. And I learned actually through the co-op project that water, and I don't want to be wrong here because I know there's like a million gardeners listening, but it's like water opens up the roots, and that's what makes them absorb the nutrients. So it's kind of like a bada bing, bada boom, all in one shot. You can grow inside with UV lights. So they're getting all of their nutrients in a very condensed location. But it's the heat and everything stays. It's all kind of generated within that one package. And it doesn't matter if it's rainy. It doesn't matter if it's cloudy. It doesn't matter if it's 25 degrees outside. You know, you've got this system that works year-round. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. If any listeners have any follow-up questions, you can always call.
Yes. And the hydro – so we had our kickoff meeting last week for the hydroponics group. We haven't scheduled our January meeting yet, but there was a really great energy in the room. There were several people there who had tried to grow hydroponics here in Kodiak. I think what they found was that they couldn't do it on a large enough scale to be successful. So we would kind of have to find the sweet spot here as well. Like, you know, where do your costs meet your profits, and how do you really sustainably have a business like that, and how do you make it a community-owned facility as well? I mean, that's a beast in itself. It's one thing if you're a millionaire and you can just, like, build this giant building and buy all the equipment. But there's a lot of passion in that room and a lot of know-how and a lot of appreciation for how it works and having fresh vegetables. I mean, can you imagine going to the grocery store and buying something that was grown right here in, like, January? I mean, even if we just grew herbs and greens, you know, in a large-scale facility or two large-scale facilities, we could provide for ourselves all the time. You wouldn't have to worry about it. I mean, we have sustainable electricity. We could potentially hydropower this facility. I mean, it's like the possibilities are so many. And I think this is a group that's going to have the right dynamic to make it happen. And I think we had the Community Wellness Center kickoff meeting a few weeks ago as well, and that was a really strong group. We only had about 10 people in the room, but, you know, it was everybody that was there is passionate about starting a facility that is open to everyone, and kind of it gives us opportunity to be active together in a safe place. And it turned out that like Hope Community Resources had already just done a community wellness center in Soldotna. So the Hope Community Resources director was at the kickoff meeting, and she was really helpful, and people were like, I'll make this phone call and I'll call this person and we'll get together in January. And those are things that like you can't create. Mm-hmm. Though that's a dynamic that just has to happen. We're like, people are there, they're ready to go, they want to make it happen. And I think that we've really hit Kodiak at the right time with this planning day, where people are ready to make this community revitalized, rejuvenated.
Yeah. What's the idea behind the community, the center?
Yeah, I can talk to that a little bit. So the idea behind this, at Planning Day, we had a lot of different ideas out there that were kind of all the same, about that we need a safe place where people can, you know, work out and do things like that, but also where there's going to be programs for kids, maybe getting some, you know, self-defense classes for women going, because we had those recently here, and that went over.
They're a huge
wonderful.
Hit.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. And so having those on a regular basis. And so all these ideas, we kind of came together and we said, we want to make a community center. We want to build a community center. And it would address all areas of wellness. So like I was just saying, we would have not only gym equipment, but we're talking about maybe an indoor track, or having some kids programs, maybe a climbing wall, you know, the self-defense classes, different things like that. So it can kind of address every area of wellness, and just available for everyone. This will not be geared towards teens. It won't be geared towards just kids or just elderly. It'll be for everyone in the community. We also talked about potentially doing some scholarship programs for families or individuals that can't afford it, and having transportation. Kind of the sky is the limit, really. But it was wonderful, like Marissa said, to just get together at this first kickoff meeting and have some different faces there that weren't at Planning Day, from different organizations. I didn't even know about the Soldotna thing, so that was wonderful to be like, wow, someone in Alaska is already doing this. Like, there's a community that just did this. And we're hoping that at the next meeting we will have some more people. It was a hard time of year to have our first meeting because it's in December, right before Christmas. But it was really good. Like, everyone that was there just had positive energy, and each kind of took a task of, I'm going to follow up on this. I'm going to call this person. I'm going to, you know, research some models some more. I'm going to call some YMCAs, things like that. So if anybody's interested, our next kickoff meeting is January 17th at 6:30 p.m. at Bayside Fire Station. So come with ideas, or if you have knowledge about this, you know, or have seen Community Wellness Center start, we would love for you to join us. So anybody is welcome. We just want people that are passionate about having this initiative move forward.
And there's a lot of levels of involvement, too. It's it's not like just because you come to a meeting that you're permanently on the planning committee. Obviously, we would hope so, but, you know, if you can only make a couple meetings a year and but you are like a stellar accountant or something like that, you know, like your skill set could be valuable at some point along the way. So just letting us know that you're interested, or here's what you think you can contribute, is really valuable in itself.
All right. So it looks like we have just a couple of more minutes. So just to end on a future note, look into the future, what do you think we have in store for the next planning day? What do you think we've learned? Like, anything that you might imagine for the next time?
Well, next year will be, let me see, December 2017. So some of the feedback we got was like, move the planning day to a different time of the year. We set it in December because Sitka does theirs in October, Seward does theirs in November, and so we ended up with December. And we do it that way so Doug Osborne, our facilitator, can come to all of our events, and sort of so the event gets more streamlined as the year goes on. So we kind of get the best version of the planning day by the time it gets here. I know that's a busy year for our community, so I think next year we'll probably try a Friday again. But I'm really happy to see that, like, people are thinking ahead. They're thinking long term. They're thinking, like, how are we going to supply this co-op for everyone in our community? And so they're, you know, they boom, let's get this hydroponics thing going. And so I don't think that our whole lives need to be centered around the co-op, but I do really think it's valuable for us to think long term and have a long term plan and not just solve our problems right now.
Yeah.
And I think that was the nice thing about this planning day is we did have some kind of bigger initiatives. They're not short-term goals. Mm-hmm. They are long-term goals, which is kind of great, though, because we can see them progress and we can really get excited about this and kind of think in the future, not think what can we get done right now, mm-hmm. but what can we see in Kodiak in 4 years from now, in 10 years from now? What's going to be sustainable? And I think, like Marissa said, we had really good, a lot better energy at this one, mm-hmm. and just people that were not just, you know, came with their own agendas or were from a specific organization, but people that were just interested in making Kodiak better and are like, hey, I'm just here because I think this is awesome and I want to see more health in Kodiak.
Yeah, so. Or hey, I moved here a few weeks yep. ago and I really want to get involved, so absolutely. I'm going to come to your event. It was really amazing, and I'm really proud of our community and not just the people who came to Planning Day or who are involved in these initiatives, but the people who have bought their memberships to the co-op, the people who send me emails to say, hey, I want to be involved in this. When's the next meeting? I mean, it's a really beautiful thing to see. So way to go, Kodiak.
Is there a contact number that people can call you at?
Sure. You can reach me, Healthy Tomorrows. I'm Marissa at 481-2424, or you can email me at HT as in Healthy Tomorrow's coordinator @outlook.com.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Kayla.